From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. We are privileged to have today as our guest and my co-host, Ivan Butts, the Executive Vice President of the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Ivan.
Thanks, Bob.
What we want to talk about today is some intensive meetings we've had this past week with our legislative network, or particularly our legislative chairs, with regard to the introduction of H.R. 7015, the Postal Preservation Act. Can you talk a little bit about that legislation and why it is so important to the Postal Service?
Yeah, Bob. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with our members. H.R. 750 is really critical for the Postal Service as we continue to move forward with the sustainability of postal operations in this COVID environment. We saw the legislation that came out in H.R. 6800, the HEROES Act, and what that entailed, that legislation entailed, which was very good for the Postal Service and to address these financial needs. But what we found was there were a lot of other things within that bill that hampered its ability or could hamper its ability to move forward. In discussions and then some of the coordinated efforts of our chairperson, Representative Carolyn Maloney from New York and Representative Peter King, really kind of birthed H.R. 7015, which is a more focused piece of legislation just on the Postal Service's financial needs in this COVID-19 environment. So it really gives us the focus legislation that we can get bipartisan support for to move forward to the House. And the key is bipartisan support. We need to really have that if we're going to convince leadership that the Postal Service is what we are. We're non-political, really just are the servants of America. So, very, very important piece of legislation coming out at a time where we're seeing a lot of good legislation come out for the Postal Service. But again, now we got to focus and zero in on something tangible that we could move forward. And I believe H.R. 7015 is that.
As we look at the bipartisan co-sponsors of the legislation, it is noteworthy that it's almost equal Democrats and Republicans co-sponsoring this legislation, and how, as we move forward, the importance of maintaining that bipartisan support throughout the process.
Absolutely. And I think that's a strategy the leader is taking on, you know, getting co-sponsors on this legislation. And it really is a smart agenda for doing it. Again, we need legislation to really be bipartisan. So, yes, it's almost makes sense that level of support should also be bipartisan. And you're right, Bob, almost one for one. There's a Republican and a Democrat co-signing onto this bill. And again, we also know we have a lot of support out there from H.R. 2382 and the co-sponsorship on that against the pre-funding that was passed. So we know there's a lot of bipartisan support for the Postal Service and postal operations. We just need to harness that power in H.R. 7015 and move that forward.
In the past, we have supported legislation introduced by Joe Neguse from Colorado, H.R. 6425, which also provides for emergency postal assistance. You know, and that has 91 co-sponsors, but unfortunately, not one Republican member co-sponsored that bill.
Yes, absolutely. And we're very appreciative of Representative Neguse and his introduction of H.R. 6425. But then again, H.R. 7015 is that narrow focus on this COVID-19 environment that we're dealing in and the losses that we have seen, even amongst, you know, the positives, right? We've had loss in volume, loss in some revenue, but we've seen tremendous parcel growth. And another byproduct that I mentioned before, we've seen tremendous growth in stamp sales. So, you know, customers responding to the Postal Service and the issues facing the Postal Service and going out there, going online and purchasing stamps. That was added something that wasn't anticipated, but surely a welcome event as a byproduct of COVID-19.
I want to drill down on one issue, and that is the bipartisanship and the importance of bipartisanship in convincing the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, to actually include postal relief as part of the next COVID-19 package. And that's reflective of that bipartisan support amongst Americans, American citizens, and registered voters specifically, is reflected in a poll that was conducted maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago by a Republican and a Democratic pollster who conducted the poll jointly. And they found that 92% of registered voters supported a postal appropriation. And in case you think it's skewed to one party or another, 96% of Democratic voters supported an appropriation for the Postal Service, and 90% of Republican voters support an appropriation for the Postal Service. American voters believe that the Postal Service cannot be permitted to fail.
Absolutely, Bob. And you're right. This is totally a bipartisan issue for America.
If only the legislative body, particularly the Senate, reflected the views of the American public. After all, this is a representative democracy, and we know that there is overwhelming support for the Postal Service and for an appropriation for the Postal Service in order to deal with the significant financial impact that the COVID-19 crisis has had on the institution.
That's one of the strange things about the legislators and being a legislator and being elected by your constituency to be their representative voice, and how sometimes that can get lost where that work is supposed to be getting done. But again, we have elected our leadership to come up here and be our voice, and we should expect them to be that.
Now, we supported many of the provisions in H.R. 6800, the so-called HEROES Act, which was passed by the House a number of weeks ago. And it included, it included postal provisions in it that we fully support. But Senator Mitch McConnell and other Republican members of the Senate are a little skittish of that legislation because of other issues that were included in it the postal provisions became captive to partisan and controversial issues that are in H.R. 6800. So H.R. 7015 is to isolate those postal issues and provide the opportunity for the Senate to really look and hone in on the Postal Service.
Yeah, I think that the things that I heard, or the things, you know, we heard in the news about the challenges with H.R. 6800, right, weren't surrounding the provisions that address the needs for the Postal Service. So we understood that from the very beginning. I think we were a little disappointed in some of the no votes that we've seen with this bill. Irregardless, but it was understandable that the issues that caused these no votes weren't surrounding the Postal Service. So again, that makes 7015 more streamlined. So now, you know, the focus can be on just what the Post Office needs to address its sustainability in this COVID-19 environment.
The objection and the votes against H.R. 6800, the HEROES Act, was not solely Republican opposition. There was one Republican vote in favor of it, Peter King from New York, but there were more than a handful of Democrats who also voted no on that legislation.
Yes.
And we've spoken to them about the opportunity that H.R. 7015 provides them to support legislation and to vote for legislation aiding the Postal Service.
Yeah, so and it's our hope that they get on board with H.R. 7015 now that it's been streamlined and they can focus on what they say, you know, they want to focus on, and that's the sustainability of the Postal Service. So, you know, I think the chairwoman and Representative King have done just that, gave them some legislation that they could specifically focus on to address the needs of the Postal Service.
Now, just to inform or remind our listeners, H.R. 7015, the Postal Preservation Act, introduced by Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney and Congressman Peter King, and joined by Jerry Connolly as an original co-sponsor, includes three provisions in it. It's $25 billion in emergency assistance to the United States Postal Service through an appropriation. It does provide Postal Inspector General oversight of the expenditure of that $25 billion. And finally, it would prioritize the Postal Service's acquisition of personal protective equipment. So those are the three provisions that are included in H.R. 7015, which ought to garner strong bipartisan support. Now I want to pivot a bit, Ivan, to another issue which historically has had bipartisan support. In fact, in some states, the Democrats are strongly supportive of this process, and in other states, the Republicans have historically been very supportive of this process, and that's vote by mail. Vote by mail has appeared in the crosshairs of partisan bickering over the validity of vote by mail and whether or not you can run a credible election totally through the mail. There are five states in our country that currently run all vote by mail with very few problems.
Yes, Bob. You know, you're right. The vote by mail issue is becoming more and more upfront, and you're right. It's in the crosshairs by some legislators and leaders for various reasons. But one thing is undeniable, and that is data. And the data is clear that vote by mail is more secure than polling, going to polling places. Vote by mail is more inclusive than going to polling places. Vote by mail is more secure than by going to polling places. And that's clear data that we see in looking at the five states that are totally vote by mail, that it's clear to see in the number of cases of fraud reporting from those states who have 100% voting by mail. And if we want to look at anything beyond that, let's look at what happened in the Wisconsin primary and then just what happened on Tuesday in Georgia with that primary and how disruptive and how uncoordinated and how disenfranchising the process was, trying to force people in a worldwide pandemic to go out and stand in line and cast their ballots, when it's just a simple matter of using the United States Postal Service, who has already proven to be able to deliver these ballots safely and securely and secure our democracy in the process.
Let's talk about facts, not conspiracy theories. There has been, and there's an ongoing review by an organization known as the Electronic Registration Information Center, which evaluates validity, credibility of elections. And they've discovered over the past number of years, there were only 372 possible, not confirmed, but possible cases of double voting or voting on behalf of people who've died out of 14.6 million cast votes. That's 372 potential out of 14.6 million cast votes. Now, what percent? And that's for the 2016-2018 election. You know what that percentage is, Ivan?
I would have to say less than a quarter percent.
Well, even less than that. Check this out. 0.00025%. So that is so minuscule, I don't know how to refer to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the five states, it's a small Colorado, Washington, they have in place checks in order to ensure that people don't double vote, mm-hmm. that dead people don't vote, and that people don't vote on behalf of somebody else.
And you're right, Bob. And this is just for me. This is the first election in my life that I absentee voted. Now, when this COVID-19 era and I had the opportunity to vote by mail. I took advantage of that, so I got my ballot. And I saw that, you know, the ballot comes to you and it's secure, but really what, when you return that ballot, you have to sign the back of it. So there has to be some, your signature has to match up. So I know there's a verification process that somebody's looking at that signature I put on that envelope and the, looking at the signature I registered my vote with. And if something's wrong, then I'm sure there's a mechanism that they're going to reach out to me and say, we're not going to count this vote until you verify. So again, there's safety precautions built in the vote by mail system to ensure that there's no fraud. And you're right. I think the data shows, I think we only have really two notable issues of fraud, and that was one in North Carolina 11, I believe it was.
Yeah, that was a so-called ballot harvesting by mm-hmm. a GOP operative in a congressional special election through absentee ballots.
Correct, absolutely. And then the other I know was an issue in Colorado. Again, Colorado's all state that's a totally vote by mail, and then they actually caught that person who committed voter fraud. So you know, vote by mail is proven to be a secure and safe and efficient and effective way of voting. And it's just time that we move to that, especially looking at November. You know, the data's coming out now. 21 states are seeing increased cases of COVID-19 from the, and I believe that's fallout from the Memorial Day holiday. Well, we had these two weeks of civil protesting over the George Floyd incident. And so now what fallout are we going to see from that? So some medical people are thinking we're going to have another spike sooner than they were predicting of COVID-19 heading into the next round. So, you know, I think by November, we really, if we're going to have our democracy and if we want our democracy to work for America, we need to want, we need to petition, we need to call our legislators, we need to tell them they need to move to vote by mail to ensure that we maintain our democracy.
A couple of things, just so people should be confident in the sanctity of their vote, is that, as you refer to, there is signature verification in vote by mail states that election workers are trained by law enforcement officers how to detect fraudulent signatures. Secondly, there is ballot tracking, so you can get a text message back following your ballot throughout the process. Mm-hmm. And also for those who choose to receive their ballots by mail, but then deposit it in a 24-hour collection box for mail-in ballots, those are under surveillance. So process. And in fact, the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the biggest critics of vote by mail, could only cite 1,285 cases out of hundreds of million votes cast into alleging fraud, and that's even less. And with absentee ballots, they can only cite 204 instances of fraud within the past 20 years.
Yeah, and that's just a false narrative. That is the fake news about vote by mail. It's going to hamper the election.
Let me tell you what's really scary and what terrifies me, Ivan, and I think it would terrify you also. It's a tale of two states. In Georgia, there was a primary. Georgia has not embraced vote by mail by any stretch of the imagination. There were long lines. People had to wait till after dark to cast their vote. They were put into situations where they may have been a little bit closer to poll watchers than is healthy within the pandemic, that a lot of poll watchers were not well trained on new equipment that was rolled out for the Georgia primary.
That very day.
People weren't familiar with it, and poll watchers weren't familiar with it. And so everyone's pointing fingers at one another in the state of Georgia. If you had vote by mail or more expansive absentee balloting, this wouldn't have taken place. Now let's look at the state of Iowa. They also had a primary this past Tuesday, a very smoothly run primary. It was vote by mail. Everything worked smoothly. Big vote turnout, no allegations of fraud. because it ran so smoothly, the state legislature is now wants to back away from vote by mail.
Yes.
Under pressure because of the conspiracy theories that are being promulgated in Washington.
I think it's even beyond the conspiracy theories that are coming out of Washington. I think it's the sheer success of vote by mail that's causing some of this also. But again, you know, we talk about this, and sometimes it's kind of frustrating because we know the data, we see the data, we see it live happening with these primaries, how they fail when they're trying to do this in-person voting and how successful they are when they do vote by mail. So we see that firsthand. So it's frustrating, but again, we got to continue to be that voice of let's protect America's democracy, and vote by mail with the United States Postal Service is the best way to do that. And it was something I meant to mention when we were talking about, you know, safeguards. There's probably numerous safeguards that the states could incorporate in the vote, more safeguards that the states could incorporate in voice by mail by working with the Postal Service on balloting, where they can do verifications as they process mail. They could isolate questionable ballots through the signature verification. They could probably do letter certifications through infrared ink markings. I mean, there are so many avenues open for additional safeguards with partnering with the Postal Service that really can be explored also.
Yeah, the latest conspiracy theory, and was promulgated by the Attorney General Barr, was that certain foreign governments would print counterfeit ballots. If you had a seamless system between the official ballot manufacturer of the ballots, printer, and the Postal Service, where it's a closed system, there'd be no problem.
Absolutely. And that's where some of the technology that the Postal Service incorporates and uses every day in delivering America's mail will come in handy, will come into specific use in rooting out any attempts by a foreign government to interfere with our elections as they did in 2016.
I think that our members and the American public need to be very cautious of these unfounded conspiracies which attempt to delegitimize an electoral process that has worked well. And we're going to be talking more about this as we approach the election, because vote by mail is an important component of the security of our electoral process. It helps the United States Postal Service. It provides the value to the Postal Service and its integrity and its security and its trust. With that, Ivan, I'm going to wish you a good week and a great, healthy, and safe weekend. And to our visitors who are tune in every week, enjoy the weekend and be safe.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make